Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks to Fitness, episode number 103. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode is brought to you by Body Sculpt of New York and the Children's Sports and Fitness Expo. Join us on Saturday, June 24th, along with Detroit Pistons forward Tobias Harris for the 14th annual Children's Sports and Fitness Expo at PS 92 in Brooklyn, New York. For more information, visit www.bodysculpt.org. or call 718-346-5852. Miss Bo Tally is the mother of four, a former R&B singer, an entrepreneur, event host, philanthropist, actress, fitness motivator, and wife of professional basketball coach Fred Williams. In addition to these many hats, Miss Bo serves as a motivation to many people, especially after her age-defying photo went viral and made national and international headlines. In 2014, she formed the first ever all-female celebrity charity basketball game in Atlanta, Georgia, called Balling for Lupus. Her foundation, Balling for Lupus, main purpose is to help bring more awareness and funds to the chronic illness. Her celebrity coaches and players consist of current and former WNBA players, actresses, reality TV stars, models, and top community influencers. In early 2007, she and her children decided to start a nonprofit organization called Take the Time Foundation, whose mission is to do just that, take the time for others less fortunate. Although Bo Tally did not grow up with a silver spoon in her mouth, her grandmother and mother always managed to keep food on the table, clothes on her back, and a roof over her head. In 2005, she formed Black Pearl Entertainment Company with a vision to promote and plan the most exclusive events in the Southeast region. From film directors and actors to professional athletes and recording artists, so many more I can't even list here, and time would not allow for me to read the rest of this amazing woman's accomplishments. So let me just say that I am thrilled to have the elegant and lovely Miss Bo Tally on my 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. Miss Bo, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I'm so elated to have you on my show.
Yay, I'm happy to be on it.
Now, on my show, we always talk about fitness and health and success, and you have all three, you know? So let's talk about how Miss Bo got her start by going into the past and working our way up to the present. Is that okay?
Let's do it.
Okay. So where were you born?
Where was I born? I was born in a little bitty small town in Alabama called Scottsboro, Alabama. Most people know that city from a historical event that happened, that, you know, civil rights.
Yes.
During the civil rights movement, the Scottsboro Boys. And a lot of people know because we have unclaimed baggage there, which Oprah has come to our town several times.
And, wow.
To let people know where their luggage goes when they lose it.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah.
So what was your childhood like growing up in Alabama?
It was a lot of fun. You know, back when I was growing up, there really wasn't, there weren't a lot of worries. The only thing you had to worry about was making it home before the street light came on. You know,
yes.
We were active as children, and we had a lot of influencers and motivators and role models to look up to, and we knew what was right and what was wrong. And, you know, we just tried to walk an honest life path and just enjoy life and be children as long as we could.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun.
Definitely. Now, who were your role models growing up?
My grandmother, mainly, was my role model. She just was always active in everybody's children's lives. She always supported everything we did athletically.
Nice.
In school and church. She was our biggest cheerleader in the neighborhood, and she was a maid You know, she cleaned people's homes, but she always was positive. She had 10 children, and she raised her 10 and then ended up raising all her children's children and children's children's grandchildren. You know, she was just an amazing woman. Just despite everything that she went through in her life, she always was like upbeat and positive. You know, she just, you never ever saw her down. And to me, that was just great. You know, always giving back.
Yes.
You know, so. This awesome woman.
That is beautiful. Now, but now, did you have any idea what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Oh, yeah. I've always known from a child. I was always very active and very entertaining. So I always knew I wanted to be a part of the industry. And I didn't know what, because as a child, I was the comedian in the house. I was the singer. I was the actress. But I was still an introvert as well. It's crazy because I only really hung around my family, and I only had friends because they were my mama's friends' children. So, you know, I played with them because of that. But for the most part, I was always like a loner. I liked to be by myself and very creative. I had a creative mind. Like, I did all kind of crazy stuff just alone, you know, just playing by myself. But I just enjoyed doing that. I mean, it's totally different now. I love being around people and know a lot of folk, but as a child, I was like by myself most of the time. if I wasn't with my family, I really spent a lot of time alone. So it's kind of weird now to see that who I am now to what I was when I was young.
Exactly. A complete 180.
A complete 180.
Complete. So you started Black Pearl Entertainment in 2005, right? Now that's a promotion company. Exactly. How did you get that started?
I was attached to the music industry, and I used to sing professionally, and I had independent deal. I had a major deal, and when that kind of dissipated, I didn't want to leave the industry per se. I wanted to still figure out how I could still be a part and help others. So I formed my own company. We actually started out as promoters and just promoting up-and-coming venues throughout Atlanta, Georgia. And then from there, it took a life of its own. We started managing talent, and we became like an entertainment company where we did talent management. And then from that, like, I don't know, everything just started just hitting us. People wanted us to do events because we would do events for our clients, and people would ask our clients, well, who did the events? It's like, oh, my management team did. So from that, I ended up just becoming an events management, you know, company. And that's what I really focus on more so now. Don't really focus on talent management anymore or promotions. I really focus on event management. So we plan events for, you know, mainly our clientele are celebrities, but we'll do it for anyone if you have a budget, for sure.
Right. Okay. Have money, we'll travel. Have money, we'll do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it must be very important to network, huh? To network?
That's what this game is about. If you're going to be a part of the entertainment industry, you have to open your mouth, and you got to be out there and get seen, because the clothes not going to get fed. Your network is your net worth. So you definitely have to get out there and network for sure, because that's just what this is about, networking, so you can get that network. So, yeah, it's networking.
I like how you said that. You said your net worth is your network.
your net worth is your net worth.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's powerful.
A closed mouth don't get fed. That's a true statement. And in order for you to, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life. If you're trying to build your company, you have to get out there and find the same business mindset of people, so you'll know how to make your company, you know, bigger and better and grow and be successful. You have to put yourself in situations and places with people that are doing something similar to you, so you'll know, you know, what not to do, what to do, and things like that. You have to network. That's just what this industry is about. Even in fitness, it's about networking. If you don't get out there and let people know who you are, meet other people, who's going to know that you're a fitness trainer? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You've just been at home doing it, and you're not exposing yourself to others. Who will ever know? So networking is very important.
Who were your mentors for Black Pearl Entertainment?
I will be honest. I really don't have any mentors. Unfortunately for me, I am really self-made. I watch people and just put myself in situations where I've watched and I've learned. But I've never really had that person to go and talk to and ask this question and ask that question. It's really just been a me thing, and people are shocked when I say that, but it's so true, and there's nobody can say why I mentored her through this, not a single person. I just wise and smart enough to know what I need to do and what not to do, and if I fail, I know how to get up and dust myself off again. And this business is about growing. You fall and you learn from your mistakes. No business that I know of has ever been successful out the bat, you know, out the box. You definitely fall a lot, and you have to start over a lot of times, and I've done that throughout my life. But to say who helped me through this, there really hasn't been anyone. If I had to give the credit, it would be my husband now. He's just very supportive and encouraging of everything I do, and he's a professional coach. So I've taken from him things because what he does definitely teaches me a lot in business. So, you know, just dealing with people, and because he has to deal with different personalities every day, women, of course.
Oh, definitely.
You know, we look cool at times.
Oh, yeah.
He has WNBA. To deal with a bunch of personalities. Yeah. So, I mean, if I had to say someone, my husband definitely has been very inspirational and giving me that motivation and giving me those talks. So I'd have to say my husband.
Wow. Well, that's good. I'm sure he'd be happy to hear you said that.
Yeah, he knows. I say it all the time. He's awesome.
And with your busy schedule, how do you balance your entrepreneurship, you know, and your entertainment and also your family life? Because you have kids as well.
Luckily for me right now, everyone's so mature and on their own and doing their own things that it works for me now that I don't have to worry about, you know, who can watch the children or who can do this. They're old enough to come with me everywhere I go. But yeah, my oldest is 27 years old. My youngest is 22. He's about to be 23 in October. So they're very mature children and very smart and intelligent. But their support really helps me get through. I mean, they still have a lot going on, even at their age. They're still in college. Some are still in college. So I still have to stop sometimes doing what I'm doing and go and be with them. But they're so understanding and so mature that they allow me. They know it's mommy's time. You know, it's mommy's time because mommy has taken care of them for so long.
Yes.
They know it's mommy's time to grow and flourish and be who she wants to be and live her best life possible. So they make it so easy for me to be able to have this balance. And my husband, you know, he does his thing. And when I'm doing my thing, he supports me. And when he's doing his, I support him. So I'm very lucky to have, you know, a mature group of people in my life, meaning my family, that allows me and wants me to be me. So it's really easy for me right now. When they were younger, I had to figure it out, and that was through God that I figured it out. It was like through prayer and, you know, and meditation.
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really stepping away sometimes to just really, you just really have to make the time to do you, despite everything else is going on in your life, having children, being married, and trying to be super mind everybody else. Because like I tell people, you can't take care of yourself. You can't take care of nobody else. Luckily, I just have a good group of family members that just help me balance this whole thing out. They get it. We all work together to make it happen.
Yes. I'm hearing some noise. Are you outside?
I am outside. You hear probably the birds chirping and the wind blowing.
In the wind, yes. I hear the wind. I want to hear this. I know my listeners are going to want to hear this interview. I'm hearing the wind.
Okay, I'm trying to like go away from it. If I go into the building, it's super loud.
Oh, okay. All right. So right
so
now
I'm
it's
like
good.
Outside.
Right
yeah.
Now
okay.
It's good. So we'll try to just go with it. You know. So in addition to being an entrepreneur, in 2007 you started the Take Your Time Foundation along with your kids. Now, why did you start that foundation, and how involved are your children with the foundation today?
My children, first off, are very involved. I started it because of my grandmother. My grandmother will always say it's better to give than to receive. And you just need, she always said, you got to take time for other people. Stop being selfish. You know, think about others sometimes, you know, because what God gives you, he can take it away from you. You know, she was always throwing that in your face all the time. And my grandmother ended up passing away. But I just felt like if we had took the proper amount of time for her, like she was always preaching. I feel like she'd still be here today, but That is what it is now, but that's basically why I started it. Just knowing all the things that were instilled in me, giving back and not being selfish and thinking about others, which is, I've always been that person. So for me to start, you know, nonprofits is just something that I figured I was going to do anyway, because that's just a natural thing in me. I love helping people. I love people getting to the next level in life. I'm just a nice person like that. I don't want to see anyone fail. And we've been through enough as African Americans that I am really about our sisters, our women, just really getting to, solidarity in life, just being solid with who you are as a person, as a mother, whatever it is you're trying to achieve in life. So me starting this nonprofit was an easy thing to do for me, because it's just like I said, I have this big heart. I love giving back. I love helping people. And my children being a part of it was just a way for me to teach them how to be more caring to others and not be selfish. And not that they have ever been, but this just really, just having this foundation has opened up their eyes to so many things and people and what people go through. And so we're still here. We still do our thing, and we partner with other 501c3 organizations to and help them make things happen in the community. And we just enjoy doing it. So it's awesome.
Nice, nice. Now, are your kids still in Atlanta?
One is in Atlanta, and they're spread it out everywhere.
Really?
Two is in Alabama, one's in North Carolina.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, they're a little bit everywhere, but they're not in the same cities in Alabama. One's up north Alabama, one's down south Alabama, so they're like spread it out.
Amazing.
Yeah. And my oldest is in California. I forgot my oldest child. She's in California.
Really?
So, yeah.
And you're in Texas right now.
I'm in Texas. I reside in Texas right now. I still reside in Atlanta. Still have a home in Atlanta.
Wow.
But my husband's basketball season, he's a coach here in Texas for the Dallas Wings, a WNBA team out here.
Oh, yes.
And so we, got a place here because practice is here and stuff like that. And I told him, I'll be closer to you this year. So I decided to, move to Texas with him this year.
Amazing. Well, amazing. I'll tell you, you guys are really tight. I mean, and Mr. All Your Stardom, that's really nice.
We're real supportive of one another.
And speaking of basketball, in 2014, you formed the first ever all-female celebrity charity basketball game in Atlanta called Balling for Lupus. Now, with all the other great causes out there, why did you focus on lupus?
Well, it's near and dear to my heart. My aunt passed from lupus when I was a young child. I think I was like 3 or 4.
Yes.
And her daughters have lupus. So it's affected my family, big time. But I didn't know what my aunt had passed from until her daughter was diagnosed with lupus. And then that's when our family didn't talk about it. Like back in those days, you didn't talk that stuff. Back in the 60s and 50s and stuff like that, you didn't talk that stuff. And then we just didn't know as African Americans. And we were just scared because you didn't want people to look at you like, oh, you have a disease,
Right.
People just, it's just different now. A lot of things are more acceptable because it's more, people talk about cancer and
more open
diseases and stuff. Yeah, now. So I didn't know about anything I knew that she passed, didn't know what she had passed from until her daughter was diagnosed with lupus. And then that's when the family started talking about it. And then later in life, it's just so crazy. So many people I didn't care who I met. I could just be sitting there having lunch and, people, we just have general conversations. If I talk to anybody, just sitting, I can't stand to be sitting by someone and be that close to you and not say hi, like, hi, how are you? I'm that type of person. So if I'm out and I meet just random people, I always ran into women who had lupus.
Really?
And I'm like, God, what are you telling me? By this time I knew my aunt had it, had passed from, and I knew her daughter had it, but I'm like, Lord, what are you telling me? I mean, random people. Never knew them, never seen them in my life. And they would just have this conversation about lupus. And I said, God, you trying to tell me something? I need to be more active with lupus or something. Am I supposed to help with this? What am I supposed to do? And then, I prayed on it. And he told me, this is what you need to be doing. You need to help bring more awareness to this disease.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I got to figure out the best way possible for me to do it. And it'll be fun.
Right.
And that's when basketball came up. I was like, hold up. I'm the first lady of the WNBA. One of the first ladies of the WNBA. So let me do it this way. My husband coaches all women. Lupus affects a lot of women, more so men. So that's the way I can do this thing. Let's make it a game of basketball. But then I was like, okay, I got to make it a little more interesting. Yes. I wonder if I can get all my celebrity friends to play basketball. You know, women, some celebrity women are so bougie, they don't want to take off their makeup. They don't want to put on anything that they think is hideous, i.e. a uniform. But it's, I was so lucky to get my celebrity friends to wipe off the makeup, put the hair up in a ponytail, take the weed out for a day, take off the stilettos and the fancy clothes, and come out and play basketball, a game of basketball. Yes. And now it's a huge success, and it's crazy that everyone's like emailing me, calling me. I have to turn people down now.
Really? Really? To be a part of it? Really? And it's an annual event, correct?
It's an annual. Yeah, we're coming up on our fourth annual this year, July 8th in Atlanta, Georgia. At the Riverside Epicenter will be the fourth annual Ballin' Palooza.
Nice. Has it been hard to put together an event like this?
Nobody, because I'm an event planner, so no, it was simple. It was really easy. I thought it was going to be super hard because I didn't know if I would get the celebrity girls that I solicited to play, but they did. No one never says no unless they have like a crazy busy schedule and they can't make it on that day if they're pre-booked, but everyone says yes. I've had everybody from Brooklyn Tankard, from the Tankards. I've had Tawanda Braxton coaching, Deb Antony, Waka Flocka's mom, Frankie, Keisha Cole's mom, Nephi, Keisha Cole's sister, you name it, Blue from the Bad Girls Club. It's just a variety of celebrities, A-list, you know, that participated in this game and that will be participating this year. So super excited, from WNBA players playing in it to coaching. It's been crazy. Yeah, I got Karl Malone's daughter, Cheryl Ford, who's going to be one of my coaches this year. And she played in the WNBA for years. So, yeah, it's been really easy. And I appreciate everyone for allowing me to use this celebrity to help bring the awareness. So I really appreciate it.
Are there any other all-female celebrity basketball tournaments like this?
Not that I know of. No, people are starting to copy mine though, but it's okay. I'm trademarked. So it's all good. They have to come through me now to do that.
That's the benefit.
I'm the only one that I know of. I don't know of any others.
Well, that's awesome. That's the benefit of being the first one, you know?
Yeah, it's been pretty, you know, amazing. And everyone's really, really excited about it this year. And I'm excited about it too. I can't wait. People can't wait for the game. It's super amazing, and I have so many people reaching out saying they're going to come, and it's just crazy. It's so much fun. So if you can make it out to Atlanta on July 8th, it's just crazy fun to see these celebrity women play basketball. And they can play ball. And that's the crazy thing, because they can actually play basketball.
What? And they can. That's excellent. That's
amazing. No, they can play. These girls play. They can. You would be shocked by the women who can play ball, and you're like, okay, she's just a pretty face on reality TV. No, she can play basketball for real.
Whoa, wow, really? That would be something to see. Have you ever taped it? Have you ever filmed it?
Yeah, we do tape it. We do film it. This year, we're going to live it on, we're going to go Twitter Live, Instagram Live, Facebook Live. We're going to live the entire thing.
I'd love to see that and promote it. That would be great.
Yeah, we're going to live the entire game this year.
Wow. Excellent. Now, I've watched numerous videos of you in preparation for this interview, and I must say that they're all enjoyable and fun to watch, okay, because of you. You're very positive and upbeat, but now, to what do you attribute your positive mental attitude?
Man, you know, life is too short to be grumpy and rude and mean.
Yeah, don't I
know? And not in a good space. I don't want to walk around mad all day. It's not fun, you know. I've been in that place where I was mad at something and I was just mad all day. And I wasted a lot of energy and a lot of time by being mad. So why be that way, you know?
Yes.
What do you get out of it?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Exactly.
Yeah, but when you just are thinking positive, and if you really love yourself, then you think positive. And I truly love myself, and I love the woman I've become. So
it shows,
it is just a natural thing for me to be that way. And like I said, I grew up around strong women who, despite what they went through in life, they still, you know, walked around with their head held high. So
yes,
for me, that's all I saw growing up. So I don't know no other way to be when stuff gets tough. I still, try to carry myself in the most positive way, because I want positive reactions. I don't want any negative anything around me. So, that's just it. I have to, credit my grandmother, my mom.
Yeah, sounds good. Because I was going to ask you about negative people, and you just don't have no time for that. No time. And that's excellent.
No time for that energy. You just don't. As a human, why would you want to walk around negative people? Why you want to be around negative people? Then that slows your growth. And I refuse to let anybody come in between my growth and my success as a woman, as a mother, as a wife. I don't want to bring any of that around me, because then that trickles into your personal life. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want that. You don't want any of that. You want a positive household. You want a happy husband. You want happy children.
To what do you attribute your stunning good looks and fabulous body? Is it genetics, or do you have to work for it?
A little bit of both. I get it from my mom and my grandma. They were divas. Like, I hate to use that word diva, but let me take that back. They were queens. Like, my grandmother, I have to tell this story. My grandmother would walk into church, okay?
Yes.
She'd be so fly, and the preacher would dang near stutter. Like,
really?
Yes, that's how fly my grandmother was. I'll never forget the one day she walked in church, and the preacher was preaching, and she just was so fly. He would stutter. And it happened several times. But I just grew up around these, like I said, these women that really showed no bad faith, and even though they could have, because my grandmother lost three of her children died.
Wow.
And wow. I was alive when all of them died. And I remember her two sons died at the same time. They got hit by a car.
Oh, and
she could have just turned into something totally different than who she was. You know what I mean? She could have been woe with me. She could have gave up on life. But I watched my grandmother, despite the bad relationship and men and stuff like that, I watched her still be this strong individual and still dress up and still be beautiful and still wear her makeup and still put her wigs on and still comb her hair and still make it to all our sporting events. I never saw anything but this fabulous woman despite everything I knew was going on.
Mm.
And that played a huge part in who I am as a woman. And I love looking good because my grandmother always looked good. I love looking good because my mom always looked good. They were fly. They had bad bodies. So I give it genetics too. But at the same time, I had four children, and that's the last two I had really took a toll on my body. I didn't snap back like I thought I was going to snap back after the first two. So I clearly had to, make some adjustments in my life, eat a little different, work out a little harder to have the body I have now. I had to work hard to get this back, even though I do feel like it's genetic too, but I had to work hard to get it back because the two kids, last two took a toll on my body.
So let's talk about exercising. How often do you exercise now?
I exercise every day. I will take maybe Sunday or Saturday off. I pick whichever day I choose. But it's not really that I'm even taking off. I'm still doing something, a push-up or something. I know my body, and I know how I want it to look. So I don't lift a lot of heavy weights and things like that, because I can get really muscular, and I don't want that look. I love this look that I have. Once you figure it out, what you're going for and your purpose, then that's how you train. And once I figured out the look that I wanted for me, because you can transform your body however you want to, if you really think about it, and if you really get focused and you change up how you're eating a little bit. Like I tell people, you really got to pay attention to your body. Know what you can eat and know what you cannot eat.
Definitely.
And then learn how to train properly. I have seen major, major, major transformations from people that felt like, oh, I'm box shaped, I can't get hips, I can't get butt, to now having hips and butt from properly training. So I do. I work out every day.
Wow. Okay.
Except when I'm sick.
Exactly. Which hopefully is not too often, So do you have videos on YouTube on exercise?
I do, but not like I should. I've slacked in that department, like YouTube. I'm so not really social media. Instagram is good enough for me. I just can't. It's too much to try to manage.
Yes, so, a lot.
Until I find someone to manage my YouTube page and
yes.
Snapchats and all that stuff. I don't upload to YouTube like I should. I keep telling myself that I am, but I just really don't have the time. I hardly have time for Instagram.
Wow.
So.
Really? Amazing. So what do you say to women who believe that once you hit 40, it's all downhill from there?
Listen, life isn't over at 40. Life isn't over at 30. Some girls get 30, turn 30, and then they're like, oh, woe is me. What do you mean? When you turn 40, that's when I turned 40, I felt my sexiest ever in my life.
Wow.
And
yes.
I felt more empowered as a woman. I felt more confident as a woman when I turned 40.
Right.
It was just a totally different feeling than any other feeling when I turned 15, 16, 20, 21. Like, it was like blah. But
yeah.
When I turned 40, life was like empowering. It was more confident. It was more sexy. It was more, you know, it was just more energetic for me. But everyone's different. But that's just how I felt. 40 is not to give up. 40 is the start of it for women. For me, I don't think you start, you know, I don't think you find life when you hit 30. I think you find life when you get into your 40s and your 50s, and that's when you find yourself as a woman. That's just what I've experienced, and that's just what I've heard from other women who are like my age. So don't give up on yourself. That's when you feel like you can say anything you want to say to anybody, and you don't give two craps about what they think, you know, because
you've
lived that life. You walk that walk. Now here you are becoming this woman. So who cares what anyone says or thinks? But a lot of women have a huge problem with turning 40, and I don't know what they're going through, why they feel the way they feel. But for me, when I turned 40, it was a beautiful thing. My husband said, you just even look different. You talk different. You walk different. You know?
Yes,
so.
I bet. Definitely. And the reason I'm asking these questions is because most of my listeners are women, you know, and I'm sure they're going to have these questions are important. The answers that you give are important to them. So what do you say to women who believe that once you have a kid or two, it's all downhill from there?
Once you have a child, is
that
what you said?
Yes. Once you have children, they think it's over. Your body won't get back the way it used to be.
It won't get back if you don't put any effort into getting it back. You know, I will say that some women are snapback queens. I know some ladies who've had like 5 or 6 children, and they snap back instantly. And then there's some women who can afford to go to the doctor 2 weeks after they've had a child and get some things nipped and tucked. Don't believe the hype of every woman you see. I think a lot of women feel like when they see these celebrity girls have a baby and then they don't have a stomach again, well, them celebrity girls got some little chicken change. So they can go under the knife and do a whole lot of stuff that women who don't have those means, they can do that stuff, and some women just can't do that. But
right.
I promise you, ladies, if you just are consistent with your workouts and pay attention to your body and realize where your food is going, I promise you, you can have any body shape you want to have. If you want nice arms, you can have nice arms. If you don't want that stomach, you don't have to have that stomach. You just got to learn how to train properly.
Yes.
And you just got to learn how to eat right. You just got to know what to do. Learn your body.
Hmm.
So to those mothers who feel like it's the end of the world after having a child, I'm with you, because I felt that way after my last two. Like I said, the first two, I was snapback queen. But the last two, that's when my body said, hold up, you ain't snapping back as easy, and you're going to have to work hard for this one. And I did. I put in the work. And it's if you want it, you do what you want to do.
Yes.
And that's just it. If you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. You can talk about it all day long, and people do that. They just talk, and they don't do anything about it. So I tell ladies, don't just talk about it. Be about it.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow. And you are the perfect role model for being about it, you know? Definitely.
Well, thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Definitely. And I'm going to make sure I have plenty of pictures out there with this interview so that women can see what you look like. Absolutely stunning, amazing, you know.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Yes. Now, my next couple questions, because I'm not going to hold you much longer. You know, somebody's going to want to know, what type of exercises are you doing to maintain that butt of yours?
A lot of lunges and a lot of, lunges. I love a lot of side leg lifts, front leg lifts, back leg lifts. I love donkey kicks. People feel like squat all day, you get a big butt. That's not true. Squats are just not for the butt. That's for the quad. And you need to learn, the butt is the biggest muscle on the body. So right. There's several muscles there that you need to train to get the proper butt. It's not just going to be one particular exercise all the time. So you have to do certain leg lifts. You have to do lunges. You can incorporate squats because squats to build up that thigh muscle and make it all come together and look really, really good. But you got to figure out the exercises. Learn the muscles in your butt and then find the exercises that'll help train those muscles to get bigger. But it's really not that hard to get a big butt. You can get one. It might take some time. But you can get one if you definitely train the muscles properly. It's about training the right muscles and doing them right. Not just squatting all day. Squats, that's not what a squat is for. And people think that's what a squat is to get a big butt. Not true. That's a myth. You got to do more than a squat to get a butt.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good advice for my listeners. What about for your abdominals, which is nice and sleek? What do you do for your abs?
I do a lot. I'll say this. Punches and everything are awesome.
Yes.
And I love doing those, but I really don't like getting on the ground because sometimes my back hurts. And okay. I don't even know where that's coming from, but I notice the older that I get that I have, you know, some back issues. And it could be my bed. I don't know what it is. But I bought the new mattress and the pillow and everything. So I don't know what it is, but I'm thinking maybe it's just old age or whatever. But I like to just do the old school things of exercising. When we were in elementary school and we had to do the head, knees, toes, that yep. works your abs. Like I always try to tell women, when you start off, go back. Remember when you were your most fit. And for most of us, it's when we were in elementary school. That's because we were active. We were doing the simplest things, jumping jacks, head, knee, toes, high knee raises, or just running. And all of those things help in building abs, sculpting abs, running, raising your knees to your chest, going down, head, knees, toes. The simplest exercises that we did in elementary school are the exercises that I do to help me every day and with my abs routine. I love doing head, knees, toes. Do a bunch of them. Trust me. After a while, your stomach will hurt. Just lying on the ground and just bringing your toes straight up, like going back, like trying to go back to your head. That'll help with your abs, your lower abs. The simplest thing, jumping jacks are awesome with abs, and people don't even realize that. Like jumping jacks is probably one of the best exercises I love doing when I'm in a rush. If I have to get a full body workout in, I hit a jumping jack all day.
Wow. Really? Really?
I do different ones.
What about nutrition? How important is that to you, building your body like it is today?
I'll say this, and I'm very honest about nutrition. I don't get into nutrition at all with people because I've realized and I've learned that everyone's body is totally different. What I can eat, some people can't eat. So I don't get into the nutrition of it. I always ask people to find a nutritionist that can help them. I can eat a lot of stuff that my sister can't eat. If she eats it, then she gains like 5 pounds in a week, you know?
Wow.
For me, I can eat certain things, and it doesn't affect me like that. So that's why I'm always telling people, learn your body. And the first thing I tell people before they start meal planning or anything like that is to go to your doctor and ask for an allergy test. And once you do that, then you'll see what it is that you can and cannot eat, and then you can properly meal plan, meal prep. I had a girlfriend, and I say this because I had a girlfriend who was meal prepping, and she added oatmeal to her meal prepping, but she wasn't losing weight. Come to find out, she was allergic to oatmeal.
Really?
Okay. And so she did an allergy test. Come to find out, she was allergic to oatmeal. When she eliminated the oatmeal, the stomach went down. Her stomach started going down, and then she started losing proper weight. So definitely ask your doctor for an allergy test and find out what you can and cannot eat before you do the proper meal planning. So I don't really get into nutrition, but I always like to give that tidbit of information because I know it has helped several people that I know when it comes to working out and meal planning, knowing now what they're allergic to.
Yeah, but that's good advice. Really sound advice. I really appreciate that. It's excellent.
No problem.
You're like an internet celebrity, social media influencer, right?
That's what they say.
Right. But you didn't start out this way, right? You didn't start out this way. So how do you feel about that?
I'll say this. I've always been a influencer in my community and with my friends. I've always been that person that everyone looked up to and went to for advice. So how I feel about it, nothing's changed. I just feel like now more people know who I am outside of family and good friends, you know. So for me, nothing has changed. It's the same. I still, before this, I was getting stopped in the airport because people was trying to figure out my age or because my hair color. And stuff like that. People would run me down in the airport trying to figure out, like, you look so young, but your hair is that color. I mean, it was always been that way. So nothing's really changed for me. Like I said, outside the fact that more people around the world know my name. But who I am is who I've always been.
Definitely. Amazing. Because, again, I know, and my listeners are going to know, and you're, like, spreading like wildfire on the internet, you know?
Yeah, so I hear that.
And you have a wonderful personality, and I appreciate that as well, you know?
Thank you. Well, what you see is what you get. On my social media, I tell people, what you see is what you get. Ain't nothing fake, false about it. No false pictures, no fake people. I don't post nobody on my social media if I don't know you. I'm not bragging that I know you. If I don't know you, I'm not showing anything that's not real. What you see is real, my real life.
Yes. Beautiful. What's next on your bucket list?
What's next on my bucket list?
Done already.
I don't know. It's so much.
Oh my God.
You know what I want to do for real? What's next on my bucket list? I want to go to China. I have a lot of followers from China. I have a lot of followers from overseas that hit me up all the time. So I just want to go there and do like a fitness class or something like that.
Oh, really? Really? Go to China and do a fitness class.
I probably make that
happen.
No, it's so crazy. There was a girl who came all the way from Japan. It was Japan, honey, right? Yeah. This girl came all the way from Japan. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, down at this place called Atlantic Station. And this is when I first went viral back in 2013. And this girl came all the way from Japan.
Really?
And knew that I'm not kidding. She knew that I frequent that area because my favorite Apple shop was down there called Killian's. So, you know, I was always posting about Killian's on my social media. And there she was. Yep.
She came all the way from Japan to see you?
Yes, she did.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea how influential you are, huh?
Yeah, so I said I definitely want to go over to China, Japan, those areas, and meet a lot of these people that follow me and leave me, you know, nice messages and stuff in my DM and emails. Like, people are really very supportive and not to even really know me, just appreciate that I've given them, as a woman, either hope to, and it's okay to be 40 or 50, and still be fabulous and still be sexy and still live life. So I have so many women all over the world tell me that I helped them find who they are now, you know, because they forgot who they were after having children or because of something that might have happened in their life. And then they see me living my fullest life that it inspired them to do the same thing.
Oh, exactly. Because some people think that once you have your kids, life is over, you know, your kid's going to, now you guys spend all your time taking care of your kids and not taking care of yourself anymore.
That's not true. That's not true. Yes. You don't give up because if you give up on yourself, then you're giving up on your children and everyone else. So you can't give up. You have to keep going because you got to live for them. You're the one that's the role model. You're the one that has to set the example for your children, your family. we are the mothers of this earth, and women need to understand that. But sometimes women get so disrespected that they just give up on themselves.
Yes.
And I'm just who I am and just trying to let women know it's okay to love yourself more than you love anybody else. Because if you can't love yourself, you definitely can't love anyone else because you won't know how to give it.
Most definitely. You know, I'm in a lot of Facebook groups, and I'm going to be posting this interview once it's done in a couple of weeks. And all these different Facebook groups where all these women, they need to see this. They need to hear the interview. They need to learn about you. And I just think it's going to just continue to spread the Miss Bowl Tally phenomena all across the country. Now, how can my listeners find out more about the curvaceous and elegant Miss Bowl Tally?
Oh, wow. I'm on Instagram, you know, where they can email me, you know, if people have questions. I do answer emails when I can. You know, it's very overwhelming at times, but I try to answer as many as I can personally. But they can follow me on my Instagram, which is I am Miss Bowl Tally, spelled IAMMSBOTALLEY. Or they can, you know, visit my website, email me at Miss Bowl Tally at BowTally.com, which is MSBO at BowTally.com.
Perfect. Miss Bowl Tally, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I truly want to thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you for having me. It was fun talking to you. It was easy to talk to you. You made it like I was just talking to a friend, so I appreciate it.
Oh, I feel that way about you. And let me just say to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for the show, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeksoffitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.